this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. This is episode 66, and I am back from the dead after a really fun stomach bug. It hit me this is Tuesday that I'm recording this, April 24th. There we go, for posterity, April 24th, 2018. And last Thursday it hit, and it hit hard and fast. At first, it was day four of my period. So at first I thought, oh, this is sort of intense. This doesn't usually happen. These sorts of like stomach cramps, I don't get them during my period. And then I started thinking it was anxiety. I think it's just part of having had postpartum depression and anxiety, having had and recovered from a mental illness. I'm always alert to my body and what it's telling me. And I often jump to the conclusion, this is something that's mood related. This is mental. I started thinking I must be nervous about something. And I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, I had a podcast interview scheduled that day, but I got it done before the illness really hit in full force. But I haven't been nervous about doing interviews in like ages. I can't even remember now. So I kept thinking like, oh, am I nervous about losing weight? Or, you know, I just got really like deep and trying to think through it. I was writing in my journal before the interview, but no, I just had to puke. I just had to puke a lot. I had to puke while driving my car. I've now puked while driving. I got it as slow as I could, but there was nowhere to pull over, and I was puking into a bag, and then had to pull over to Pippa's preschool and pick her up a couple hours early because I didn't know what the progression of the illness was going to be. And fortunately, this happened on a Thursday when I have a babysitter. And so I had Julian, you know, with the babysitter, but the babysitter doesn't drive the kids, and she doesn't know where preschool is. So it's like, it's me or... you know, or I might have to come back out later and I don't know if I'm going to be even more sick. So I just waited in the parking lot while one of she's not the secretary of the school, but she's not the director, but she's the woman behind the curtain. The woman behind the curtain brought Pippa out, and I'm sitting in the car holding a bag of my own vomit and covered in my own vomit. And, you know, trying to be cheerful with Pippa and explaining, like, mommy really can't talk about this right now because mommy's stomach is just being really weird. And it really seemed like food poisoning. And that's what I was writing it off as, although I couldn't identify any foods that would have given me food poisoning. And the foods I'd eaten in the past, like, 24 hours, other people had eaten and they weren't sick. And it didn't seem like food poisoning. But then comparing notes with a couple of moms at preschool yesterday, two other moms said the exact same thing on, like, Thursday and Friday. And both of them thought it was food poisoning, and both of them could not, like, identify what food possibly it could have been. So apparently all three of us got hit with this weird bug that likes to masquerade as food poisoning. None of our kids got it. None of our husbands got it. It's just, like, the mom bug. So watch out. The mom bug is out there. By the way, it's just me this week. There's no interview. I've got a lot of different stuff on my mind, and I wrote some notes, and I'm just going to see what I get through and try to just turn this off at the 25 or 30 minute mark. I make that promise a lot, and then I just talk and talk and talk, but really going to try to honor that one today. What's on my mind? So let's talk about having a stomach bug. I feel like I'm trying to like flip the script on things. That's something I learned from the Allison show. And you know, here, let me put this in my notes. Flip the script, otherwise it will never make it into the show notes, and I know some of you go there and follow the links. And the Allison show, it's called Awesome with Allison. She calls herself the Allison show on Instagram, and then her podcast is called Awesome with Allison. And I know I've mentioned it before on the show, and I'll mention it again, because if you like podcasts and if you like feeling better and empowering yourself, I highly recommend Allison. I love what she's doing. And she's younger than me, but has been working on herself much longer than I have. And I feel like she's a person who has her shit together, but also knows that she has more work to do and is working on herself, but is imparting a lot of like the thought nuggets, that's what she calls them, that she's learned along the way. So I feel like she talked about flipping the script. And when something bad happens, you try to look at it from the opposite. Like, well, how could I see this as good? So yes, I had a stomach bug, but it reminded me that it's just, there's so many lessons to learn, like that life is uncertain. And I know before I had kids, I really tried to block out the uncertainty of life by having schedules, by having a very certain career, being a lawyer. I knew if I'm a lawyer, I'll always have work and I'll always make more than enough money and I will have an apartment and I will have social approval and all that stuff. And I never really worried about, I was really so fixated on blocking out the uncertainty of life that I didn't really spend much time on I never even thought about the word authentic. Like, what does it mean to have an authentic life? I never thought about fulfillment. It was more about money and how much was I saving? And, you know, always these mental like milestones. I want to have, you know, 10,000 in the bank. I want to have 20,000 saved. I want to have 60,000 saved. Like, how much can I save? How much can I accumulate? And money being like sort of a way of preventing or minimizing the uncertainty of life when really, yeah, life is uncertain and it's beautiful and it's messy, but an uncertainty is good. Like, a lot of the experiences I seek out are uncertain. I mean, my sister was talking to me about, and this was in relation to something else I'll tell you about soon, but how if there was no uncertainty and no adversity, we'd just be Stepford Wives. We'd just be little robots. And that's boring. You know, you go to Disneyland and there's a carousel. But really, I mean, you only ride the carousel because you brought your one-year-old and you're trying to, like, please them while the other kids are doing the real rides. You seek out the rides that have something unexpected. You know, the reason Space Mountain is so awesome is because you're in the dark and you can't see what the roller coaster is going to do next. Are you going to turn left? Are you going to turn right? Is there going to be a drop? Are you going to suddenly go up? You can't see any of it. And that just makes the ride so much more awesome, the uncertainty. So there's a lot of stuff in life that is awesome because of uncertainty, but of course, the awesomeness of Space Mountain is controlled because, you know, it's not like you're getting into a box with wheels at the top of Mount Everest and like, well, holy shit, I hope we make it to the bottom in one piece. Like, no, it's Space Mountain. They put on like the safety bars down and you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. And it's uncertainty within the confines of Disneyland where you know you're safe. So, you see, I never know where these episodes are going to go when I'm talking. Having that stomach bug did bring me back to the uncertainty of life because I was getting really annoyed with, like, I've been working so hard to tidy up the house and I'm sick for one day and the kids have made like 18,000 new messes. And it's like, look, woe is me. I'm never going to catch up. It's like, it's a reminder. No, I never am going to catch up. And that is a blessing. We have so many toys because we have a good, you know, we live in Pasadena. We live in the 21st century and my husband has a good job and our kids have toys. You know, why do I have to look for the negative? Like, instead of seeing the toys out and being like, my children are healthy and they're busy and they're using their imaginations and they're having fun. Instead, I'm like, I gotta put away these toys. And like, no, life is not meant to have everything put away orderly on a shelf. At some point in your life, you can get there. When your kids are older, I think I'll be, you know, it's not like I want to live in squalor. I don't want there to be crumbs on the floor. But if I spend all the time I need to spend to sweep up every crumb in the house, I would go insane. I would not have time to cuddle with my children. And that, like, if I'm on my deathbed someday, I may think I did not snuggle with my children enough. What was I doing? I don't think I'm going to be on my deathbed thinking, why didn't I sweep up those goddamn crumbs more often? Like, you got to make these choices. There's only 24 hours in a day. And you can think there's 365 days in a year, but you're going to get some stomach bugs. You're going to get allergies. Your kids are going to get stomach bugs. Unexpected shit is going to happen. And that's okay. That's life. And we get to come. And the beauty of an illness is we get to experience resurrection. We get to experience renewal. We get to come back to life. And we get a deeper appreciation for our own health. Like today, I was able to, for the first time, was able to have my smoothie because I've been having these breakfast smoothies with like spinach and this like pea protein powder. And I did not put my flax seeds in today. My bowels do not need any help from flax seeds yet. Oh my God. But I had all this healthy stuff in there, and I couldn't have eaten it yesterday because my stomach was still just raw and tender, even like 5 days after or 4 days after having the stomach bug from all that puking, and there was some diarrhea from all that. It felt like a setback because I've been off gluten, I've been off rice, I've been off sugar and dairy, and for the first couple of days, all I wanted to eat and was able to eat was like rice and Gatorade. And then I felt like I was able to eat some yogurt. And it's like, well, that's dairy, but that's what my body wants. So I had to like listen to my body, which was actually really good. And I'm on this weight loss journey, and it really feels like a spiritual journey. Like I'm done with Weight Watchers, I'm done with South Beach, I'm done with like, oh my gosh, I did Jenny Craig at some point. I forget if it was in law school or when, I think it was when I was a lawyer. I am done with someone putting like dehydrated, pre-cooked, pre-deflavored food in a box. I'm done with that. I am done with someone telling me this is the number of calories you can eat in a day. I am done with all that, and I am into having faith and confidence and trust in myself. And I've been writing about it a lot. And there's Jeanine Roth. Oh, you see, here I go. I never thought. So I wrote notes for what I was going to talk about, and now I never thought I was going to talk about this. But Jeanine Roth has written a lot of books, and one is called Food, Love, and God. See, I'm typing my notes right now so I can put it in the show notes. And I read that, and she talks about how having a weight problem is, well, she doesn't say it quite this way, but this is how I interpret it. Having a weight problem is almost a blessing because that is right there the soul work you need to do. Working on your relationship with life and in a higher power, and or if you don't believe in the higher power, just working on your relationship with yourself and your own psychological issues. And what are the beliefs you have from childhood that you don't need anymore? What are your beliefs about yourself that are outdated or were never even correct? And a lot of people, to work on these issues, they end up having to quit their job and move to India and stay in an ashram for, did I pronounce that right? For like 3 months or 3 years or however long, and meditate for like 12 hours a day to figure out what they need to figure out. If you have a food problem, you got that right there. You've got your own little personal trip to India right on every bite of food you eat all day. It's right there. And God, I could just talk about this forever, and that's not what I want to talk about today. But that's a place where I am right now. And so the stomach bug helped me align with that because for a couple of months I had completely sworn off sugar, and I had decided I am not the sort of person who can be trusted around sugar. It opens a black hole in me. And you know what? Maybe I needed to believe that for a couple of months. Like that was part of my journey to like to see that I am the sort of person who can actually live without sugar. But I went to Disneyland last week with Pippa, and it was Disneyland. And I walked like, I think I got like 18,000 steps on my Fitbit, and then plus you're just standing all day. And I had ice cream, and it was, and I didn't just have, and they have the no sugar added ice cream at Disneyland, and I was like, fuck that. I got cookies and cream and cookie dough, my two favorites, a big scoop of each. And then Pippa couldn't finish her chocolate, so I finished it for her. And it was awesome. And I'm allowed to do that. And it didn't open a black hole in me. So I needed for a while to take a step back. It's all a journey. And you figure things out. You cannot figure it all out at once. It would be really nice to just like be a robot and stick a file in your head and download all the information and be like, voila, I'm all set. But I have no interest in being a robot. I like being human. It's very interesting and exciting and adventurous. And that's part of the adventure, is figuring things out as you go. So I figured out that I actually am a person who can have sugar. I need to work on some other issues. I don't want to go and start having sugar every day because I'm trying to lose weight, and eating sugar every day does not help you lose weight. But no black hole was opened, and I don't feel like some intense need today or any day after Disneyland to like go scarfing down all the chocolate I can find or all the ice cream. So I'm on this journey and I'm figuring this stuff out, and that's a big place about where I am right now. And the stomach bug forced me to eat foods that my doctor had told me not to eat. So I saw this naturopathic doctor, oh my gosh, like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and she gave me some dietary ideas, and they were good, and they helped me re-examine my life and what I'm eating, and I think they're helping make some, like, helping, like, the architecture of my body, like, rebuild itself in a healthy way, because your body needs these nutrients and minerals and vitamins in order, your body's constantly rebuilding itself, like, you know, the bones you have today are not the bones that you were born with, and so you have to give yourself the nutrients to build your body effectively. And so my doctor's advice was great because it helped me take out the things that were not helping me have the healthiest body. But the problem with my doctor's advice, the problem with the way I reacted to my doctor's advice was I took it as like gospel truth. And I've done this again and again on Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and South Beach, or just like, you know, the diets where it's like, okay, I have to count every calorie I eat. And the thing is, it comes down to like this trust in myself. I'm gonna write that down. Trust in myself. This is important shit, folks. And I have to be able to have trust and faith that I am able to feed myself. And it's, you know, I'm working on it because I don't think, I think it's just an old childhood belief. You know, your parents put your dinner in front of you and they say, eat everything on your plate. And that includes the broccoli. And that is a valid way of parenting. I'm still thinking through all this. I think I have a lot of stuff to figure out on food. You know, I had postpartum depression. I had to figure out a lot of stuff there. And now I have to figure out a lot of stuff about food. And I had to take a break for a while after I had postpartum depression and anxiety. And I worked through all that. And I did therapy for a while. And that helped me, you know, develop a lot of confidence in myself. And now, after taking a long break, I really got to work on the food stuff because I have to be able to trust myself to be in this body and to be connected with this body and to eat as much food as I need to eat. And when I feel like I have eaten enough food, I have to trust myself to stop. And when I don't stop, I have to then be curious and say, what is going on? Why am I eating more food than I need? Why? And, you know, and there's these beliefs and I'm finding them and like excavating and bringing them up and being like, oh, there's some sort of like scarcity, you know, scarcity versus abundance. Okay. I must have this misconception that food is scarce and I have to eat it when I have it. And you know, that makes no sense when you live in Pasadena in 2018 and your husband has a good job. Food is not scarce. Food for me is very, very plentiful. And we throw out food because we have produce and we don't eat it all. And I do my best. Like I would love to just go to the grocery store 1 week and buy the exact amount of produce that we need. But you know, like shit happens. You get a stomach bug and suddenly you didn't eat all the spinach that you were planning on eating. And that's, you know, that's okay. I'm not beating myself up about that. But I think back to childhood, and if I had been given unrestricted access to all of the sweets that I wanted, I would have just been like, you know, 100 pounds overweight. And I'm one of those people who has naturally high cholesterol, so my parents had to watch that. So there were reasons that my parents had to keep certain things scarce. And I don't think they were like, and I've been writing about it and thinking about food and being like, so what is available, you know, what treats were available? Because I first started with the idea of like, okay, so sweets were scarce. And then I thought about it. I'm like, no, we got to eat candy on Halloween. We got chocolate bunnies in our Easter basket and we got chocolates and sweets for Valentine's Day. And there was, you know, plenty of stuff, junk food in our Christmas stockings, and we would get to eat, work on those chocolate Santas every day. And there were birthday parties with birthday cakes and ice cream. And, you know, my parents would take us to Baskin Robbins and we would get ice cream and we'd go to Dodger games and get treats. There were so many treats. And yet from my attitude, and you know, some of this I think is just the way we're born. It was scarce. And so something that I do that helps me when I have these weird outmoded beliefs, I'm like, what the hell is going on? I think back to the cavemen. And I think cavemen had to live with a scarcity belief because there was no grocery store. There were no fridges. There was no like, you know, like an ice pack and you can like carry like a water bottle with you. Like, no, like they did live with scarcity. And I think it's just still in a, I think a lot of people probably have start from a scarcity belief because we had to have that because we did. I mean, if you did not get off your ass and go gathering some freaking berries, and if you did not motivate the men to get out with their spears and hunt down a woolly mammoth, there was not going to be anything to eat the next day. You had to go and get your food. And that belief, I think, is something that could affect us in all of our lives. And I, you know, now I'm like 20 minutes into this episode and I've been talking about my stomach bug and, oh, and getting into just like, so here it was, is I had a stomach bug and it felt like a really shitty experience. But when I started to think about the positives it gave me, it made me feel better that everything is neutral and it doesn't have to necessarily be negative. You know, you're out there and you get something wrong with being a mom or being a dad. That's okay. Like, flip the mistake, flip the script, find another way of looking at it. It's an opportunity to learn. And there are blessings in things that seem like curses. Speaking of which, gotta take a sip of water. I don't know how these radio, like, personalities, like, how does Rush Limbaugh do it? So speaking of, like, setbacks and adversity, publishing. My book has been published and is available on Amazon as an ebook right now. Or if you like free things, I'm going to put a free link in the show notes. So just head over to the website and click on the blog or on the show notes area, which I think is under podcast, and you'll find a link and you can get your free copy of the book, the ebook. It will send you to a platform that will turn it into whatever device you want. So if you want to read it on your iPad, it'll hook you up with iBooks. And if you want to read it on your Nook, for those of you who still, you know, the four people who still own a Nook, it'll do that for you. And it does all these different formats. And so I will put that link for you for free. But thank you for those of you who have bought the book. There are five of you so far. And I don't mean five as shorthand for 500. I mean literally five people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And, you know, I feel like that's awesome. I have big plans for my writing. I want to be a writer. And I want to write lots and lots of books. And I want to make a living off of my writing. And I don't mean like, you know, 10,000 a year. I want to make like a real, like, living wage that contributes to my family, that helps pay for, like, my kids to go to college and pays for, you know, I don't know if I want, like, an expensive purse that I can actually buy myself an expensive purse. And so I want to make real money off my writing. But I'm also, like, look, I've sold 5 books. And 2 weeks ago, I had sold 0. So I'm looking at it as, like, really positive. Like, you've got to sell 5 books before you can sell 1 million. So thank you to the 5 people who bought the first 5 copies of my books. And, you know, this is going to sound really conceited or I don't know, but I just know I'm going to be successful in what I do. I am following my intuition and I am listening to my gut and I am letting the path unfold as it unfolds. I'm not like setting up 5, 10-year plans. I mean, I think about my dreams and how I can achieve them, but I'm also open to the fact that, you know, a couple years ago, I did not have a podcast and then it just like hit me, right? You know, like I need to start a podcast. So I don't like, I can plan and dream and speculate, but I also know that my intuition probably has a shit ton of surprises in store for me, but I have faith in myself and trust that I'm going to build, a successful career for myself, that I don't need to go back to the law. Oh my God, that like just shreds the soul off my bones. So not going back to that. I know I can be a writer or a podcaster or some way that this is going to turn into me making a living. And so thank you for the 5 people who sold copies. If you get one of the free copies, or if you decide you want to just sales help. I mean, I'm not asking you to go download the free copies. If you want to like help me out and buy the book, that's awesome because Amazon has all its algorithms and the book shows up in search results based on like how many have been sold. So that it's really helpful when you do actually buy a real copy. But, you know, if you can't afford it and you do go for the free copy, that's great. If you can write a review, that's really awesome. Reviews, people don't like to buy books unless they see that there've been reviews. So the more reviews I can get for the book, and the more reviews I can get for this podcast, the more people who find it. So as your little act of advocacy for today, go leave a review for the podcast. And that will help more people, that will help the show get on people's radars. And you will be helping, you'll help some mom or dad who needs to find this show. Or, you know, just any human being who needs this show. So please leave a review for the podcast, or if you read, and once you read the book, please leave a review for it on Amazon. And oh, note to self, I got to get the book listed on Goodreads so that you can leave reviews there, because that's where I review books. So that is a lot of talking for today, and publishing. So I did want to tell you that I am trying to get the paperback version of my book out, and it's been an adventure. I got the book design, there's a different design for the ebook, because that's just like a little rectangle that you see for the ebook, and you need a different design that's like a wraparound for an actual book. My book designer set that up, and she sent it to me, and I have been working so hard. Well, it's not even that hard. It's just been, like, tedious. Uploading and then Amazon has this system where you upload your files, and then you hit launch, like, a previewer, and it takes, like, 7 or 8 minutes, and you get all these little messages about, like, you better go grab a sandwich, maybe get some coffee, and hang on, we're checking margins, and I get it. Like, they're putting a book together to show you. And it keeps getting rejected. And we kept getting the book cover rejected. And my book designer, poor thing, was like calling Amazon to figure out what she needed to like change. And we finally got that working. And the fucking manuscript was suddenly not working. And so then I had to contact the software company I used to put the manuscript together. And so I fixed that. And now the book cover design is not working again. So I emailed her yesterday. And when she gets a chance, she'll hopefully flip it back to me. And hopefully, knock on wood, we're down to like the last revisions, because I just want the paperback for myself. I just want to have a book and hold it and be like, I did this. Like, I did this for me. I made this. And, you know, and I'll be able to actually buy copies to give to a few people who I want to, you know, I want to be able to give to my therapist who I had like back when I was a lawyer, and my current therapist who I only see occasionally, but I want to be able to give some copies to people. And you can't, it's just, like, I love being able to give you guys the ebook, but it's just not the same as being like, here's a physical copy. You know, being able to do a giveaway on like Instagram or on Facebook and just like give someone a free copy of the book. I'd love to be able to do that. So that's coming up. And, you know, I had some other stuff I wanted to talk about, but we'll get to that in May. Don't worry. There's more episodes coming, because I feel like I've been rambling for long enough now. Oh, yeah, 26 minutes. That's enough shit for me for 1 week. I want to mention, though, before I go, Playing Monopoly with God it's a one-woman show, and it will be in New York from May 17th to May 20th, that's 2018. And on Saturday, May 19th, there will be a live stream at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to playingmonopolywithgod.com to sign up for the live stream or to get tickets to see the New York show. I saw it when it was in Pasadena. It's beautiful, and it's about it's Melissa Bangs' one-woman show, and she had postpartum psychosis. So it's a really, I hate to use the word interesting, because that makes it just sound like, you know, a Game of Thrones episode, but it brings you into the experience of postpartum psychosis. And there is a lot of misunderstanding about what postpartum psychosis is like. So I love that it's a one-woman show. I love that we have the documentary out there, like When the Bow Breaks, and The Dark Side of the Moon, like the two documentaries. I love that there's lots of books that people are writing. You know, I wrote a book because that's my thing. I love books. I love to write. I like long form. So that's why I wrote a book. But I hope people make paintings about postpartum depression, poems, graphic novels, just, you know, music, some songs, a symphony, like whatever your thing is, you know, postpartum depression, the musical. I sometimes like think of like ideas of like changing lyrics, but you know, I'm not a musical writer, but oh my gosh, there's so many ways that we could share stories. And I'm in podcast, and I hope more people start podcasts, because your voice is important and everyone has a different perspective that they're bringing and to the table. And it's valuable. Like we need podcasts and stories from every country, and we just need stories. I think stories are so important. And that is something that's on my radar. I want to help empower people to tell and share their stories. And, you know, that's why I'm doing the podcast and why I have guests. And next week we have a guest back. We have another guest. Emily Richter is sharing her story. And, you know, I love having people on the show. I'm lining up my summer interviews now. So email me, Courtney@ppdadventures.com, if you want to share your story. But I think writing is just such a wonderful cathartic experience. And I'd like to find ways to empower more people to write about their story. And whether it's just writing it in a journal for yourself, or if you're writing some blog posts, or you just want to write you know, do a few Instagram posts, or if you want to write an essay for some, you know, that reminds me. I have been meaning, I've been meaning to share this, and every week I forget. I have a blog, and I've started another blog, which doesn't even have any real blog posts yet. So I've started another website, CourtneyHenningNovak.com, which is going to be where I can write about things like that interest me, just whatever comes on my radar. Like, I know I'm going to have a lot of things to write about menopause, so that'll be there. And I know I've got lots of things about motherhood, you know, over the years, but I want to have my website for this show, ppdadventures.com, to be about just postpartum depression and anxiety and just the whole postpartum mental health experience. So I write for that, but if you are more of a writer type, or if just the idea of sharing your story in a verbal podcast way just does not work for you for whatever reason, but the idea of writing and publishing your story somewhere does click with you and you don't want to like go through the whole hassle of starting a website and blog, I get it. We all have different things. And, you know, if your thing is baking cookies or is macrame, that's awesome. It doesn't have to be writing, and it doesn't have to be blogging. But if you want to just write one piece, I would love to share your story. So I'd like to become, like to turn my website and the blog into a place where there can be guest posts. So if that's something that interests you, feel free to email me again, Courtney@ppdadventures.com. That's just something on my radar that I'm going to be working on, having another way to help moms share their stories, because I think sharing your story is so empowering, and it's just and writing it. It's just, these are just, our stories set us free. We all have an adventure to tell. We all have a story to share, and I just believe every mom and every dad out there has a story. And I'd love to get some dad guests on the show, because dads get postpartum depression too. It's like, it's 10% of them, and the number goes up if mom has it. So if you're a listener and your husband has a story to share, put us in touch. Okay, phew. I had like all these notes for other things I wanted to cover, but that's enough for this week, because I'm not going away. I took that long break last year as I was getting really digging into the book, but Julian's going to be starting preschool in like, oh my God, 6 weeks, my baby. And I'm not going to have more time than I need. I feel like that's like 2 years away. Then I'll have like all the time I need for all of the writing and podcasting I want to do. But I will have a lot more time in about 5 months when Julian's like fully immersed, or 4 months. Oh my God, I'm just like short-circuiting in my mind. When he's like fully has like a preschool routine 3 days a week, I'll have a lot more time. And I don't even know where that was going. I have a lot of work I want to do, and I'm going to have more time to just keep doing it. Oh, I was saying I'm so brain dead. I was saying that I did take a long break in 2017 from the podcast, because I just didn't have enough time to do the podcast and revise my book. But I'm getting more and more time as the kids get older. And I don't see this podcast going away anytime soon. There are so many stories that need to be shared and so many topics to cover. And I love being here, and I love sharing this space with you guys. And I don't think I'm leaving this until I'm ready to start menopause, the podcast. And I'm only 39, so like I feel like I'm 5 years away from being able to even do that podcast. Okay, that's enough rambling for me for 1 week. Postpartum depression and all maternal mood disorders can be incredibly lonely and isolating, but you are not alone. There are thousands of people struggling with you in the darkness right now. You know, life as a human is messy and chaotic and uncertain, but it's beautiful and uplifting. And even if you're in the darkness right now, I know you can get out of it and get back into the light and the joy of life. I love you. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'm thinking about you, and I'm rooting for you.